Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
What do you think are Mitch's strengths as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think he's accurate, he's athletic, he can process, his work ethic, how he is as a teammate, those are all things coming to mind.
Wondering if Ryan Pace is awake up there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. You know, the more I hear that cut from Ryan Pace, David, that was, of course, him talking about Mitch in the postseason. It's almost like he's reading his college scouting report, isn't it? Like, these are the things I think he is, and I'm going to stay with it regardless of all evidence.
Either that or these are the things that we want him to be. And this is the quarterback that we hope that he becomes. But this is not the quarterback that he is or has been, because this is not a guy who has processed things, who has been accurate, who has done any of that. He is athletic, and we do give him credit for being able to improvise and use his legs. But we want to see him use his arm. And today I hope we hear a different tone. Today, when Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, you know, talk to the media for the first time in over a month, I hope that everything that we have said about what this trade for Nick Foles represents is reflected in the tone with which they speak. Because you can talk a lot about things in terms of what tone you use. And the tone should be, we traded for a quarterback with the hopes of getting consistency from that position. If competition brings out that consistency in Mitch Trubisky, great. But if he is as inconsistent as he was last year, because last year there was a model of inconsistency, then Nick Foles is here to lead us, because he has done that before with the Eagles. He has done that before throughout his career, and he's not a guy that needs to be coddled. And that's what I hope the tone is today, even though I don't have high expectations.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't have high expectations either. And you know, we've talked about this quite a bit, that actions speak louder than words. And you picked up on that immediately, because I think a lot of us were picking apart what the guy said. And a lot of what he said was drivel. A lot of it was just a person speaking. There wasn't any meaning behind it, quite frankly. And I don't say that, like, I'm not taking a shot at the guy. I think he's just kind of in this. They have been, for as long as I can remember, in this kind of weird defend Mitch mode. You know, well, Mitch, you know, it's like his draft status made everything.
It's a difficult time to talk about a lot of things.
Well, that's more about giving away the plan. And God knows you don't want to give away the plan. But I think that the action is different than the words, right? So you say, well, Mitch is obviously processing things, and Mitch, you babble on with nonsense, and then you go out and you get a guy that could actually play in the NFL and was going to be the answer for one team anyway. They thought he was, and it didn't work out there. So, you know, the guy's The guy's got a working history that is more impressive than the one that you've seen Mitch develop here over the last few years. So I think that the NFL is a meritocracy, and I don't know that it's immediate. I think you probably want Mitch to have one more gasp at it. But the thing that bothers me, David, when they made this move, I couldn't believe almost the sense of relief that I had. Like, oh, thank God, they're seeing what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God, they're actually going to try to win now. They're not going to try to justify a draft pick. And so I expect kind of to hear the opposite almost, just because it's been the way. But the action speaks louder than anything they say.
Absolutely, it does. The one thing that I would like to know is something that I don't think we'll ever find out. And in the old days, maybe we could, because as you know, as we both know, covering the league used to be different, even 10 years ago, because people would talk and things would get out. But now it's so difficult to kind of penetrate the inner sanctum. But I would like to know if Nick Foles, was he plan A, B, or C in terms of the quarterback, you know, possibility or alternative to Mitch Trubisky? Was he ahead or behind Andy Dalton? What did they see in each guy? And where did Cam Newton, if Cam Newton fell into the equation, fall on the list? My sense is very low. And how serious were the Bears really in on the Teddy Bridgewater discussions and negotiations? Or were they used as leverage so the Panthers would give Teddy Bridgewater the price that he felt like he deserved? So I don't think that we'll get any closer to those answers today, but I am curious because all of those speak to this, the level of commitment they have to Nick Foles as the solution to the problem at quarterback. I think that we will hear today, maybe you'll have to read between the lines, a resignation of,
Of Ryan Pace?
No. As much as the mayor may be calling for that, I think that we will hear.
Wondering if Ryan Pace is awake up there.
Maybe acceptance is the better way to put it. An acceptance that Mitch Trubisky, that hasn't worked. And maybe, Molly, we talk about actions louder than words. Do you connect anything to maybe the actions toward being open to replacing Mitch with replacing and giving up on Leonard Floyd? You know, if pride got in the way of Ryan Pace looking at a first-round draft pick and saying, you know, I have to have this guy succeed so my pick will look better, does giving up on Leonard Floyd, is that at all connected to the idea of giving up on Mitch too?
Well, I mean, it was a rough day. It's a rough off season for Ryan Pace because you can connect that easily. And, you know, they've already given up, right? Kevin White, they gave up on a year ago. They gave up on Kyle Long at the end of the season, right? And they gave up on Leonard Floyd when they needed the money and they had a better possibility of upgrading for 1 year as opposed to waiting on a guy to help you. I understand why you do those sorts of things, but that is, you know, at some point, you've got to sit down in front of the board and explain to them why you are throwing away assets, money, you're throwing away picks, you're throwing away the future of different things. It all comes back to roost. A lot of the moves that you made, you know, we talk about the redraft where you've got positions that you've already drafted that now you have to redraft them. That's not a good thing. But when you dip into free agency, again, when you look at the number of first-round picks on this roster and the fact that the majority of them are busts elsewhere or players you had to trade for, those are all done because you couldn't do it yourself in the draft. And what is the draft? It's the lifeblood of these teams because it's a way of getting players who are significantly less expensive than guys you got to go out on the market for. So I think that if I'm evaluating this guy and what he's done, I might have been a lot more harder on him earlier than they were. But at this point, that's a bad combination of things to happen, to give up on Leonard Floyd, to have to replace Mitch, the whole thing, David. And I'm sure that question will come up about whether or not they're going to give him
pick up the option.
And the idea that they're going to tell us yet again, well, it's all sequential, you know, eventually we'll get to that decision. Come on.
Can I make a confession here, or at least an acknowledgement? number one, I don't think that's, I'm not that interested in that, because to me, the more I think about it, the less it speaks to any level of commitment. To me, it's just sort of like it's a bookkeeping measure. They made the big move for the quarterback, and they made the loudest statement they're going to make by trading for a guy who's better than the one you have in terms of having a career's worth of reasons to believe what I just said. The other thing I'm more interested in, and I know this probably makes me, I'm going to lose my badge to the gotcha police, but I don't really care necessarily how much money they're giving Jimmy Graham, as much as I'm curious to why they decided to go after Robert Quinn, because to me that was a bigger surprise. Throwing money at free agents to overpay them for past production is not necessarily a new thing in the NFL, or frankly for Ryan Pace. But I didn't see the Robert Quinn thing coming, and I think that's the one question that I have yet to hear an explanation for, because what you did was you upgraded your pass rush, but you went to a guy who's, you know, I'm going to be seeing the other side of 30, and you gave up on a guy who was all about what you represented in terms of your regime and the way that you drafted and the traits and the potential. So I'm more curious about him, Ryan Pace, explaining the Robert Quinn move than I am hearing him justify the overpayment for Jimmy Graham.
And I think that's a legitimate a question, David, in your mind, because of the fact that maybe one you didn't see coming and the other one you knew they had to do something. But I got to tell you, I'd love to know who the hell he was bidding against with Jimmy Graham.
Right.
I'm being completely honest. You know, why did you give him that much money? It's a legitimate question when you look at how much money they have. And if indeed you get to a point where you've got a glut of corners on the market, and you could have picked up somebody, but guess what? We had to throw more money at a position. They went into free agency to get Trey Burton to fix that position. And then they have to double down with Jimmy Graham. And even when you bring in Graham, you're giving him the same money that he was getting in Green Bay and he was cut for. Who were you bidding against? Who was out there? I mean, what line did you buy? I think it's a legitimate question.
It
Why?
Is.
Give him the extra, whatever it was, $2 million. Why not get a bargain out of the guy?
Everything is about expectations, and I don't expect to get that answer, do you? I don't expect to get any transparency.
No. I don't think there'll be any honest answers, and I base that simply on the fact that I don't think it's an honest answer when you're rattling off the things the quarterback can do that the quarterback can't do.
I think, though, when you go back to how we started this, the tone with which they speak about the Nick Foles pursuit, if they talk in a way that makes it seem like they were fixated on getting this guy because of his expertise level in this offense, that it will suggest that that's what they see and that's what they envision. And that's why they got him, is because he can't operate this tool, if you will, better than the operator that currently has, you know, his hands on the wheel. And that's that, to me, you can say a lot without saying, you know, it being as exact, and I think they can speak to the tone and how excited they are with Nick Foles coming, or if they are nonchalant about it, that's also telling, and you could read it another way. I'm just glad they're talking. I'm just glad that at 10 o'clock we'll hear from both guys, and at noon we'll hear from Nick Foles, and I think I'm even more curious about the tone that he sets with his words.
All right, David, I want to ask you a question, and I'll throw it out to our listeners as well. 312-644-6767. When we come back, I want you to think about this. They brought in Nick Foles in part because he knows this scheme, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this goes back to the Bridgewater and all the other moves they did or did not make. Did they get lucky because of this horrible pandemic that means that some sort of continuity helps you? Or did they do that on purpose? Do you believe that they went after Nick Foles because they thought something could happen where there would be no offseason and they needed a guy that knew their system? Or is that just a benefit that they hadn't counted on? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey Bears fans, it's Nick Foles. I just want to send a quick video and just say how honored I am to be a part of your organization and a part of your city. My family and I are looking forward to getting out there and getting to work. Until then, though, there's a lot more pressing matters in the world right now, so our prayers are with everyone. I hope everyone stands safe. Our love is with you, and bear down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That is the voice of Nick Foles. That's him at the unveiling, the Gram. He went on the Gram with the Bears and he signed his contract and off he went. And the question stands, David. I asked you this before the break. You look at the times we're in, and obviously continuity seems to be hugely important. Everyone seems to believe without some of the off-season stuff, and we don't know if camp starts on time, if the season starts on time. Having a knowledge of what you're doing is a very important thing, having continuity. They have a quarterback who has been in this system before, who has worked with the head coach before, who has worked with the new quarterback's coach and the offensive coordinator and everybody else. Does that give? Is that why they did this? Were they really going for Bridgewater first, or did they figure something was happening in the world and they needed to be on top of it?
Well, I think it's a really smart question, Mully, and I think that to find out the answer, you have to kind of connect the dots. That's what you want to do. Information, you follow the leads and you go down that trail. So let's look at the dates. The Bears executed the trade for Nick Foles on March 18th. Now, did they just begin the pursuit of him that day? I don't think so, but they pulled it off on March 18th. The speculation and the conversation, it probably preceded it for weeks and months, but they called the trade on March 18th. A day earlier, the NCAA tournament was canceled because of COVID-19. A day before that, the NFL announced changes to the off-season program, essentially eliminating OTAs and making the off-season program something that it has never been, which is non-existent. And that's a time when typically, traditionally, new players, new quarterbacks, new receivers, they come to their new teams and they develop timing, they learn the system, and they get acclimated. Well, if you know on March 16th that that's not going to be able to happen with whatever new quarterback you bring into the fold, then it probably does affect your thinking. It probably does come up in conversation when you're sitting there, whether it's remotely or whether it's at a Hallis Hall meeting room and Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and their staffs are talking about it like, okay, do we want a guy who doesn't know the system and never has executed it and we're going to be introducing to people for the first time these new coaches? Or do we want a guy who has excelled for three of the new coaches we brought on board here, or three of the coaches we have on our staff, and has run this offense and isn't going to be as much of a stranger to the concepts that we're going to be executing? So I do think that's a really smart question. And the answer, I think, has got to be it helped contribute to their thinking and made them more likely to trade for Nick Foles than anybody else out there.
Fascinating. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We've got some people that want to check in. Let's start the conversation this morning with Joe. Joe was listening online. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I'm listening in beautiful Trevor, Wisconsin.
Great.
And to answer your question directly, I think they wanted Foles all along for exactly the reasons you cited. I don't think they were, COVID-19, I think that was just like an added bonus. It just confirmed their thinking. But I think given this, the limitations of this general manager and this coach, that's the bigger question in my mind is if Ryan Pace has missed on all these first round draft picks, what makes us think that this pick of this coach is a good pick. All I can say is I was watching the Chicago Bears against the Packers from Thanksgiving Day 2015, and the players that are missing from the Bears roster tells you all you need to know about Ryan Pace. We need a new general manager and possibly a new coach. Thanks, fellas. Have a good day.
Thanks all right, for Joe, listening, thank you, Joe, buddy. But I don't agree with that at all. I mean, if you want to, if you want the 2015 Bears back, good luck with that, as they were on last night. I know people were watching that Thanksgiving Day game against the Packers. But Mully, I think Ryan Pace is an easy target. I'm not going to deny that. His choices have been worthy of criticism, and we have delivered it. But I think when it comes to Nick Foles, this was a practical solution. And for the reasons, you know, the fact that they responded, if COVID-19 and what happened to the OTAs, and if it compressed the training camp, if they took that information and they made a decision, or it led them closer to getting a guy who understands the system and would be more comfortable and shorten that adjustment period, to me, that's smart. That's not worthy of criticism.
We have a texter who checks in and says, come on, Mully, Pace can't get a first-round pick right now. How can he know what's going to happen in the world? How's he going to know what's going to happen in the world with this virus? Okay. I wasn't saying he projected all of it. I'm just saying that is it possible this was a really smart move? Let me ask something, David. And this was from another texter earlier. It's a good question. Did Nagy get to make the call on this? Was he the guy that called the quarterback position, and did Pace just go along with it?
Well, 815 texter suggests that and said the fact remains that Nagy wanted Foles a very long time ago. And, you know, you counter that with other reports that have been out there, Mully, this offseason, which said that Nagy really wanted Andy Dalton. I don't know. Maybe we'll get a glimpse of that today. I would think that it makes sense that Matt Nagy would favor Nick Foles of all the quarterbacks out there, because they do have a familiarity. I mean, they do have a personal relationship.
He gave the guy his car. Come on. At training camp.
You know, what is it with the Bears quarterbacks and this theme that there's always a backstory involving a vehicle?
It's true. Mitch's crummy car got him drafted second overall. They moved up to get the car. And certainly Matt Nagy gave his during training camp to Nick Foles.
I think also we mentioned that Matt Nagy, but it also makes sense. Again, this is a practical solution because the two other coaches who are the offensive guys who are collaborating now with Matt Nagy, John DeFilippo.
Yes.
Had success with Foles in Philadelphia, where they were on top of the mountain together. And he was the reason, a big reason, why Foles was steered toward Jacksonville. Now, they paid him a ton of money.
That's right.
But it was partly because DeFilippo was there. Also, Bill Lazor was the offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback's coach the first time that Nick Foles was the Philadelphia Eagle. And he had a ton of success there. So there's a lot of symmetry. There's a lot of comfort. There's a lot of reasons that explain why Nick Foles is a Bear.
All right, let's get to Brendan. Brendan is also listening. I think everyone's listening online. Good morning, Brendan. How are you, sir?
Hey, Brendan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I think you guys have done an Emmy's worth of coverage on Jimmy Graham, and you should stick to that because you guys are right on the ball with that. But as usual, you know, I listen to you guys every morning, and it's clear the where you guys want the conversation to go with Trubisky, and I get it, but here's my problem. Every time we talk about Trubisky, and the Foles thing, I think that March 18th, when they actually pulled the plug and signed the deal and the weeks leading up to it, they might have known a little bit something about coronavirus that none of us knew because of, I don't know, their connections with the government somehow, some way, some form. I don't think it played into anything. I think that Nick Foles is something fits the mold and for what's on the scrap heap of quarterbacks in the NFL and available to us. And I think that was an option that he wanted, and he went and got it. But more importantly, you know, everybody talks and everybody, and it's been a common theme for some time now. We talk about our quarterback, and nobody ever mentions the fact that our offensive line not only it's like a back story. Oh, they underperformed. There was no continuity. We had some injuries. We got three Pro Bowlers now on our defensive line. Everybody talks about how awesome our defense is, but as soon as one of our defensive linemen isn't in the game, the defense doesn't play up to par. They don't play as well as they did. Everybody takes the basics out of this game. You need a good offensive line for your quarterback to play well. I don't care if Nick Foles is back there. I don't care if Tom Brady came. We don't have an offensive line. We got nothing. It doesn't matter how good the quarterback is. If we got a coach that won't run the football to scare the defense, and we have a weak offensive line, it doesn't matter.
Brendan,
a lot there.
Yeah, there's a lot there. Go ahead, Molly.
No, David, I finish your thought. I got to tell you.
Well, here's what I think. Both things can be true. Both things can be true. Brendan makes a good point that everybody understands. Without good offensive line play, your rookie running back was going to struggle. David Montgomery, we weren't able to see everything that he has to offer because there were no holes for him to run through. And by the same token, it's probably not fair to hold every overthrower inaccurate pass against Mitch Trubisky because of the pressure that he felt behind a sieve of an offensive line. But I think we've all watched enough football to realize this. The offensive line can stink, and Mitch Trubisky cannot pass the eye test. And both things were true last year.
That's where I was going, David. I think that as bad as the offensive line was, they hardly stood alone. And the idea that Mitch is a good enough quarterback provided you surround him with everything he needs, that's not how it works, man. Listen, you need a good offensive line. They've invested in their offensive line. It's not like they can just cut guys, right? They got both their tackles are making good money and would be major cap hits if you cut them. There's no value to getting rid of those guys. In fact, you'd be damaged by it. Then you look at the interior. Those are draft picks. Cody Whitehair is making some money, but he's also a draft pick. You put a pick into him. Ditto James Daniels. I'm struggling with, so you want to, are we back to use your highest pick on a right guard again? Is that where we're going with this? What are you getting with the second round of the draft? Are you're taking a tackle, right? I mean, I don't know what else you would do. You're not trying to take a guard there, are you?
No, it'd be a tackle. It's a bad draft for guards, so it'd be a tackle. Then you'd have to have a guy that developed. Molly, though, Brandon did bring up another point. I know we get to break, but he mentioned Tom Brady. And I know what the problem was with the Bears and Tom Brady now. Did you see what happened down in Tampa? Tom Brady moved into Derek Jeter's mansion because it was vacant. So that was part of the allure. Why didn't anybody here have the bright idea of trying to get Brady moving into Michael Jordan's home?
Because nobody's lived there for years. You can golf naked at his house.
I know.
You can just go out and,
Can you imagine that? Missed opportunity. That's why Brady ended up in Tampa, not Chicago.
That house is spectacular.
It is a spectacular house.
It really is something else. Wouldn't you love to be Derek Jeter? I mean, that's pretty awesome. That guy's got it going. All right. I got an empty house. How you take a look at it? What? All right. We're going to bring in Bruce, and we're going to talk to Bruce. There were a lot of tributes to Ed Farmer yesterday. Some very moving stuff. And Bruce was obviously not just a friend of his, but also a guy that was around Ed for a very long time. So we'll talk to Bruce. We'll run a couple of our ideas past him of how to pay tribute, and we'll get his opinion on what's going on with it. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, gentlemen. Bruce. How are you guys doing today?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to tell you that I read your story on 670thescore.com, and it was beautiful. You did a fantastic job. Your story on Ed Farmer was really moving, and it really came across the love that you had for the guy. And it was it really moved me to read that story. You should be very proud of yourself. You did him right.
So good, Bruce.
Yeah, appreciate it. Well, you know, Eddie was a very special guy. You know, a lot of people just knew him as a broadcaster, play-by-play man, a color commentator, baseball player for 11 years, a Southside icon. I knew him as the man. And this was a very dedicated person to all of his friends, most importantly to Shonda, his daughter, and his wife, Barbara. He was just a dedicated guy. Just to, you know, 1 second to show you his dedication to his work and to God and his family. I said, you know, I need you to come on my show. This was like last July. He goes, okay. You need to talk to, you know, did you talk to Mitch Rosen first? Yeah, Mitch is fine with it. You know, it's a different station. Okay, so I come back to him and he said, well, you got to talk to Dave Ennett, you know, at WGN. So I called Dave Ennett. He said, okay, now that you cleared that, you need to talk to Bob Grimm of the White Sox. So I called Bob and he signed up. So this tells you a little bit about the order of Ed's life and how he ran his life. Everything had to be orderly. Everything had to be done right. Everybody had to know about it. And keep in mind, we were friends for 40 years. But this is how it had to be with Ed Farmer. You know, it was just an orderly way of getting things done. And if you wanted, I know this for a fact, if you wanted to talk to a president, and I needed to once, he helped me talk to George Bush. George W. Bush. He could help you go to Italy and get and see the Pope. I know this happened, okay? This was as well-connected a guy and as loved a guy by so many people as I've ever known, and he's going to be sorely missed.
He knew everybody, Bruce, and I think he also kind of would be the first to tell you, as you point out in your column, he knew everything. He knew a lot of stuff about a lot of things, and I think that you mentioned his IQ was above 150, and he might have told a few people that along the way. But I found it very interesting, your anecdote about how here Ed Farmer was, somebody who received a kidney from his brother back in the 90s, and he was he knew so much about health issues that he looked at you and you guys were friends. And he had a lot of medical knowledge, and he diagnosed your arthritis early on, and he made a recommendation that ended up helping you?
Yep, he did. He said, okay. I said, you know, Ed, I'm having trouble with an ankle, and the pain won't go away. And then, you know, just recently shot to one of my fingers. He said, well, you know, you have gouty arthritis, and it might be psoriatic arthritis. And I know a guy at Rush that you need to go see. And he was the first guy to diagnose it, and he was absolutely correct. It was psoriatic arthritis, and you know, this was 38 years ago, and Ed was that smart because he studied his own health, and he would have arguments with professors and doctors, you know, from Harvard about the diagnosis of his illness and the treatment of it. He was just that brilliant that he would be able to study these things, and he literally kept himself alive many, many more years than many people would have been able to because of his knowledge of his own disease and how he took care of himself.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary story. I was moved by a lot of the tributes. You know, that yesterday on the Score, we heard from a lot of different people that were obviously close to Ed, and you know, is there one favorite story that you heard, Bruce, or one favorite moment that comes to mind from listening yesterday? And obviously, you know, just what's the story you dine out on when you talk about Ed Farmer?
The Sammy Sosa autographed bat. So he helped me get in touch with George W. Bush, and I needed him, and he got me in touch with him like in, you know, 6 hours, and I was able to talk to him. And he said, well, I need something from you. We have a charity. I need a Sammy Sosa autographed bat. You know, this was back in, I think, 2001. And he said, we needed the charity is, this is on a, like, Thursday night. He said, the charity auction goes off tomorrow. I need it tomorrow. I said, Ed, the Cubs are in Milwaukee. He said, I'm here. He said, well, you know, I know you'll be able to do it for me. So I drove up to Milwaukee. I've never asked for an autograph in my entire life at a ballpark because, A, it's not professional. B, you lose your credential if you do it. So I had to go up to Sharon Panazzo, who was the media relations director. I said, I have to ask Sammy for an autograph bat. She said, what, are you out of your mind? She said, I mean, you have to be, you know, we don't allow that. So I said, I have to do it. I need a favor for Ed Farmer. She said, okay, this one time. I go up to Sammy. I said, I need an autograph bat. He goes, you need an autograph bat? And I said, yeah. He said, who's it for? He said, Ed Farmer. So he goes out, picks up a bat, signs it. Said, do you want me to make it out to Ed? I said, no, this is for charity. Makes it out for me. I drive back to Chicago. I go to UPS. I ship it. It gets there in time. This was, you know, this was Ed Farmer, you know. I mean, you had to, if he did a favor for you, you owed him a favor, and you needed it to do it right now. And he, there was no messing around. But the beauty of it was, is that if Ed Farmer was your friend, you had a friend for life, and you had favors like this when you needed them. The price was very high to pay, but nonetheless, Ed Farmer could get things done for you, and he did that his entire life. He took care of people, and people took care of Ed.
So many great stories that came out yesterday, Bruce, and you said how people took care of Ed. I found it interesting how he had this connection to Jerry Krause that not a lot of people maybe knew about, but it was 1967, and he was coming out of St. Rita, great basketball player, great baseball player, had scholarship offers. He proudly had an offer to go play at the University of Notre Dame, and then there was a scout named Jerry Krause who helped sign Ed Farmer to the Cleveland Indians with the consent of his mom. And Krause promised Ed Farmer's mother that he would take care of him through the process. And that's when the bond developed. And who would have thought all these years later those two guys would have such an impact on the Chicago sports scene?
Not only that, but this was on her deathbed, literally. She was in a hospital and she was dying. And she did an interview with with Jerry. And she talked to him at length, and she told Ed that, you know, Mr. Krause is going to take care of you and make sure that you're treated properly, and I think you should sign with the Indians. He had at the time other choices, numerous scholarships to many different colleges that wanted him to play baseball for him. Excuse me, guys. And she said, Eddie, he's going to take care of you, and I want you to sign with the Cleveland Indians. And that was it. And Eddie, he probably told me the story, I don't know, three times in 40 years. Jerry Krause told me this story numerous times about how touching it was and where the strongest influence for Ed Farmer as a person came from. Ed would talk to me hours about his mother and her influence on him and how... You know, the first time he had a fight in the schoolyard, some kid hit him, and, you know, this was like 10 years old. His mother said, we don't believe in violence. We turn the other cheek. However, we believe in standing up for ourselves. So when you see that kid tomorrow, punch him in the nose. And that was Ed Farmer's mom, you know. Punch him in the nose, you know. Nobody pushes you around. You respect people. You don't fight with people. But if somebody starts something with you, you finish it. So this was, you know, some of the way you looked at Ed Farmer and you understood his ethic, his belief in God. You know, many times, well, I can come on your show, Bruce, but, you know, I have to go to Mass and, you know, it's at 7 o'clock and I have to be there on time. This was a devout Catholic, a guy that really believed in his God and the way that things were going to be done. And again, respect, admiration, love. Those are the things I think of when I think of Ed Farmer.
You know, Bruce, yeah. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to hear Game 3 from the NLDS 2016 Giants and the Cubs, the marathon 13-inning game. And you know, this has been so much fun. It's a Game 3 of 17 that we're doing here on The Score, 17 games and 17 nights. And when you hear Pat and Ron, Pat Hughes and Ron Kroemer, I mean, and, you know, you miss their style, and you miss the soundtrack of the baseball season. And I think that it just reminds you, when you hear all these stories about Ed Farmer, you know, he had his own style. He was a quirky guy. I think it was referenced a couple times yesterday. And in the past couple of years, we've said goodbye to Hawk in the Sox TV booth, and now we've mourned the passing of Ed Farmer in the radio booth. These guys were different in the way that they approached the broadcast, just as Pat Hughes is, just as Ron Kroemer is. But I think it underscores just how unique everyone's, you know, approach is, and that's what makes the great broadcasters greater, is that they have this sort of unique approach that makes them authentic. And Ed Farmer was definitely authentic.
Yeah, the one thing about all those broadcasters, and they're all great in their own right, without question. We're lucky to have Pat and Ron at The Score. I mean, they're fantastic people and great friends of ours on top of it. But the one thing you know is when you go into that booth, you're not in your own territory anymore. You're in their territory. It's their home. They're there for 81 games at home, and in that booth for 160 games. So that's their home away from home. You have to have that certain respect for it. And it's treated differently by every broadcaster. I mean, when you went into a booth with Ed, it was like you were walking into his house and he was having a big party, okay? There might be like 12 or 14 people in that booth while he and John Rooney, or he and Darren Jackson, or he and Steve Stone for 1 year are doing the broadcast. People are eating. They're conversing quietly behind him, and Ed and his partner are doing the game. That's how Ed did his broadcast. He wanted more people there. You never went hungry there because the Bartucci brothers and the people that were catering, they all brought food when Ed asked. You know, as much as you needed, as much as you wanted. You were at Ed's house. You were in Ed's house, and he was taking care of you. He was your host when you were in his booth. And It's pretty much the same, but different with every other broadcaster. You know, you are welcome, but there's different levels of being welcome. With Ed, you are always at a house party.
All right, we'll let you go, Bruce. Yeah. How did they honor him? What do you think happens? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, certainly a patch, but I would say, I would like to see that radio booth named after Ed Farmer. I think that would be. I mean, they have the Hawk Harrelson broadcast booth, you know, that you walk into. But for the radio booth, I'd love to see the Ed Farmer radio booth for the Chicago White Sox. By the way, just want to give my best and thank you to Rick Camp, Zach Withers, Maggie and Julie, certainly David Schuster, and my friend Connor McKnight as well, for all the great teamwork and service they did to The Score, and the great careers I expect ahead of them. So thank you very much to our teammates.
Thanks,
well.
Bruce. Well said. Yeah.
All right.
It was a tough day yesterday.
Guys.
Thanks
have
for
a great
having
day.
For coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a difficult day yesterday, Molly. A lot of good people lost you know, their jobs, and we're going to miss them at The Score, and certainly tough times and days like yesterday underscored just how difficult this period will be to get through.
Amen, brother. 312-644-6767 is the number. Lillian Hawk Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.